Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm convinced that one reason some of our families and churches in America are a little bit weak sometimes and not what we could be is because we don't have quiet times or devotional times, times where we really spend time like we should in the Word of God. And I want to give you some very practical things tonight and hopefully challenge you to be involved in a good devotional time, a good quiet time, how you can have a meaningful quiet time. Now let's look at these verses, and I believe that we don't want to just have quiet time to just do something or to check it on the side and say, well, I had my quiet time and all of that, which some people I'm afraid might do. But if we're going to know the Lord and know Him better and really have a sweet, close relationship with Him, we've got to know Him by spending time with Him. I didn't fall in love with my wife by not knowing her. And a lot of people need to spend more time with Christ so that we would really be in love with Him, connect with a living, vibrant, alive, holy God, a transcendent being who loves you, and He wants to speak to you, and He wants you to speak to Him. Ephesians 4, begin with verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's go ahead and add verse 15 while we are there in that area. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now I believe God is telling us that we need to spend time in the Word of God, in our devotional time, so that we can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He mentions these goals in these verses. Verse 13, He says, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And He speaks of that as being one of the goals that we need to have. God wants us to do these things. And let's look at these five things that He mentions here. Number one, He wants us to come to the unity of the faith. It's right there in that verse. In other words, there is one real truth in the Word of God. There's one set of doctrine that was once delivered to the saints. And we don't need to be confused about all that stuff. We need to be together on it, know what we believe, and stand on what we believe. It's important to know the doctrines of the Word of God. And God says, and the writer says, and the Lord's desire is for us to come together in the unity of the faith. That's not some kind of ecumenical movement where we compromise a doctrine. It is coming together in the unity of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And then He wants us to increase in the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants us to know more about Jesus Christ. Do you think you've learned all there is to learn about Jesus Christ tonight? Do you think there's a little bit more that all of us might learn about Jesus and get a little closer to Him and be able to know His heartbeat? I think so. And then He wants to see us grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what He says there. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, He doesn't want us to remain babies in Christ, but He wants us to grow and grow. And you know how it is when you have a child and you mark a little mark on the wall and you mark it on the door somewhere, and then later on you mark another mark, and then later you mark another mark, and you say, boy or girl, you're really growing. We did that with Kaz, and we have a little mark and another mark, and I still have it in the garage. I don't want to erase it. And as far as nostalgic memory, as he grew, well, God wants us to grow. And we never come to the place where we don't need to keep growing. We need to grow in the Lord. He wants to see us grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then He wants us to be no longer children are tossed about, as he says, to and fro by every change in the wind, everything that comes along. There are a lot of Christians that fall for just about anything because they really don't know what to stand for. They have not gotten ingrained deeply into their hearts and minds what God wants out of us, and so they can be easily confused. Have you ever seen how easily a child can be confused by somebody? A child, you can tell them a lot of different things and many different things, and they'll almost believe you. And you can, and that's why they're so susceptible to adults who might mislead them in the wrong thing, or very easily deceive them into the wrong thing. And he says, we don't want that to happen to you. How quickly can a child be misled? How quickly can we be misled if we have not grown up and gotten the things out of the Word of God that we need to get to know and have them anchored in our soul, so that when all of this junk that comes over television, all of this junk that comes by your house, and all of this material that is distributed, you'll know better and you'll know what to do with it. He wants us to be no longer children. And then he says in this passage, he wants us to continue and reach a real high point. And I think that's what he's saying in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in how many things? What does it say? All things. Grow up in the Lord in all things. And that's important for us to do. So our goal should be to grow up in the Lord, to grow more like the Lord, to be more like our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I think we have to come to the place where we love him even much more. And that's important for us. Now, I want to give you about five quick things that I think are important, five factors for a meaningful devotional time, or whatever you call it, your quiet time, your time alone with God. And everybody should have a time alone with God, and that's the only way we're going to be able to know him, grow up, be mature, and do the things that he wants us to do and expects us to do, and not be little children. First of all, I think we need to have a proper period, a proper period in our devotionals. What do you mean? I mean, make time. Don't try to find time. There's a difference. Make time for your devotions. Don't just try to find some time somewhere. I'll find money to give to God at the end of the month, whatever's left over. That's not the way we ought to do it. You know, I don't think God wants leftovers. By the way, I'm not too fond of them myself. I've eaten my share, I suppose. And that's all right, and some of them not too bad, but I'd a whole lot rather have a good fresh meal, wouldn't you? God deserves more than our leftover time. God deserves a priority in our time. So what we need to do is make time and make it a priority in our lives. Find the right time, whatever time that is. I think it ought to be the time when we're more physically and mentally alert. I know for some that's going to be a real challenge, but at any rate, you've got to find some kind of time where you're physically alert, where you don't have a lot of cobwebs in your mind and all of those things, where you can think clearly about spiritual matters as a child of God. Don't give the Lord those leftovers. And I believe that God teaches us throughout the Word of God that the early morning time is the best time. It's the best time, the early morning time. It's not the only time, but I believe God indicates that it is the best time. Psalm 5:3, he says that thou shalt hear my voice, hear the voice of the Lord. In the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. When? In the morning. That's not a bad time to do it. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Early will I seek thee. Now, I understand for some, they have legitimate reasons, they cannot do it early in the morning. But you find your time when you're mentally alert and you haven't had all of the things of the day to drag you down or everything to interrupt what you're trying to do in having your devotions. I believe God wants that to be true. A proper period. Secondly, I believe we need the proper preparation. The proper preparation. What do you mean, preacher, by that? A quiet time should be fellowship with a holy God. Think about that. Fellowship with a holy God. I'm always amazed, and I never can get over it, that when I get down on my knees or when I sit down and read my Bible and I'm there by myself in that little room, that God knows what I'm doing. Isn't God great and marvelous? He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is everywhere present. That is God. And a quiet time is fellowship with a holy God. And we need to prepare for that time. And I believe that means we need to be focused. Be focused. That's very simple stuff. But we need to know God's here. Boy, that'll sober your thinking. Here I am, I'm on my knees. Now, I know God is everywhere present, and we're always in the presence of God. But somehow when you get down on your knees, somehow when you get in the Word of God, there just seems to be a little closeness there that you don't have otherwise. And I know that that's part of it. Be focused. Know that God is there. And then be morally clean in your heart. If you're going to have devotion, spend time in the Word of God, you're going to be isolated and do that, then I think we need to be morally pure and clean before God. A lot of people don't want to have devotions because they're a little uncomfortable with the way they're living. And they know that if they get on their knees and get before God and have regular devotions, you know, it's going to impact your life. You're going to have to straighten it up. You can't get down on your knees and pray and have some sin you're harboring in your life and not have to deal with that as you pray and read the Word of God. It's going to have an impact on your heart and an impact on your life. Be morally pure and clean. That may mean that you need to do some confessing even before you read your Bible and get down on your knees or however you pray. You don't always have to be on your knees to pray. It's a good thing if you can. Some people in the hospital rooms and some people with other physical problems can't do that. It's a matter of the heart. That's where it is. But if we can, get on our knees before God, be focused, be morally pure in your heart, confess and receive His forgiveness. And then thirdly, have the proper place. The proper place. I don't know what your place is, but you need to find a place somewhere. Wherever you can find it in your house. It may be a bedroom. It may be a little office that you have. It may be in the den or the TV room or whatever room you have where you can get in there and get alone with God, to have the proper place. God tells us in Matthew 6:6, basically, that we need to have a closet. And He doesn't require us to literally get in somebody's closet or our own closet. There may be some people who think that's absolutely literal. And by the way, if that's where you want to go and you've got room in there, that's all right too. That's up to you. But a closet, what does God mean? Some place where you can get alone with God. Get away from the distractions. Get away from all of those other things. Simply find a place of isolation. Let me tell you, Jesus did that. And if Jesus did that, I need to do that. And you need to do that. Jesus would often go up on a mountain alone, the Bible would say. Get alone by Himself. Go off by Himself. You say, well, He was God. Yes, but as the God-man, He had fellowship with the Father, and He needed to pray, and He needed to spend time with the Father as the God-man. And that's exactly what He did. And we need to find time to do that. Shut the door on the world and open the windows of heaven. Have a proper place where you can get alone. Be alone with God. It's good to get alone with God. Not even necessarily, I think, husbands and wives ought to pray together. I like the idea of the wife praying once and then the husband praying the next time. That way the husband gets her heartbeat and she gets his heartbeat. You know what's burdening their hearts. You know what's on their hearts. But we ought to pray. I think that's great, but there must be and there should be a time where it's just you and God, a proper place, a closet where you get alone. And then fourthly, there needs to be a proper provision. What do you mean? Well, I think, number one, you ought to have a good readable Bible. Don't get you one that's so small print that you read a paragraph and can't read anymore. Get you a good readable Bible. I have one now that's very large print. I like it. I'm liking it more and more the older I get. But I think it's good to get you a Bible even with a margin. I like the Cambridge Bible like I have with a wide margin in it. This one was a gift to me, but it has a wide margin. And why use that? So you can jot down some notes over there. By the way, it's not wrong to write in your Bible. It's not wrong to write in your Bible. Write some notes in your Bible. And while you're there in your personal devotional time, jot down something. If God shows you something, write it over there in the margin. Do that. Very practical things. Have a readable Bible, and then maybe have a prayer journal. That could be as simple as a tablet or paper, or some kind of little tablet or paper, or it could be something more formal. You can buy journals in bookstores. You can order them through some of these Christian colleges and all of those things, and they're all right. But have a prayer journal, and when you go in there, expect God to give you something. Don't go in there just to go through a routine. Go in there and expect to meet with God and expect God to give you something that'll help you and take you through the day and guide you throughout your life. Find a prayer journal. Write down what God gives you. Record the things that God shows you. And then go back and look over those things. And many times you can use that. Sunday school teachers, you can go back and use that in your Sunday school classes. If you're teaching those things, what God has shown you, go back to them, look at them, write it down, record those things. And then those things that you're praying about, you might want to write those down. I think it's good to keep a list, a prayer list, you may want to do a formal one, or you may want to let the Spirit of God guide you and have those in your mind mentally, but have some kind of list where you know when you've prayed, God has said yes, no, or wait a while, whatever it is, you can mark it. And what a great thing it is to mark it when God answers the prayer, and then later you go back and turn the pages and say, boy, look at that, God answered all those prayers. And I'll tell you, that'll encourage you to keep praying. It'll cause you to want to keep praying to the Lord. Maybe have a little notepad. Write down the things. You know, I've noticed that whenever you go to have devotions, the devil shows up. Have you ever? How many of you ever noticed that? The devil shows up. The phone will ring. The baby will cry. The wife will fall out of bed. Whatever. I don't know. Things happen. But we, a lot of times, the devil will start, while you're trying to have devotions, make you think of all the urgent tasks you have that day. Get you a little pad and write them down. As soon as he brings them to your mind, write it down and say, that takes care of that, and leave it alone. When you get through, you'll have your daily list of priorities. But don't let the devil, you say, well, that's silly. No, I tell you, it can work. And I've discovered that it works. And just write it down. If the devil tries to make you start thinking about something that's pressing, just jot it down and get right back to the business of your devotions and do that. And then fifthly, proper procedures. Have proper procedures. What do you mean, preacher? Get still and get quiet. Let God speak to you. You know, so many times we spend most of our time saying, gimme, 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 God, gimme, gimme, gimme. I need this, help me. And it's all right, prayer is asking, I know that. John R. Rice taught us that a long time ago. Prayer is asking. But we need to get quiet before God, and I think we need to be still and let God speak. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Well, did God mean what he said? I believe he did. Be quiet, find you a quiet place, be still. And know that I am God. That's a good thing to do. Calm down. Relax. Get your mind on God. Recognize His presence. Take a deep breath and focus on the reality of God and put your thoughts on the Lord. I think it's not a bad thing. You don't have to do this, but it's not a bad thing to read some scripture first and let God speak to you. See, God already knows what you're going to pray about anyway, but it might be a good idea for you to hear a little bit from Him to start out. And I'm not saying that's the only way. I'm saying I think that's a good way. Start with the Word of God and let God speak to your heart. It's more important for you to hear from God in some ways than from God for God to hear from you, though both of them are very important. But you need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. Get still. Be quiet. Start with perhaps the Word of God. And read. Listen, this is so important. Read for quality, not quantity. A lot of times we're doing this. I've got to read through the Bible. I've got to read through the Bible. And we're going fast. Go fast. Read that verse. Read fast. I got another chapter. I got another chapter. I got another chapter. I got another chapter. And sometimes God wants us to take maybe two or three verses and just chew on them. Amen. Slow down. Amen. Now, if you want to spend some time reading through the Bible, it's good to read through it every year. And that's a great challenge. Some people I know, I think I heard Brother Ouellette say the other day, he reads through it twice, two or three times a year. That's good. But there has to be, I believe, the time where you get the Word of God, you're not in a hurry, you're not trying to just achieve that kind of goal, but you're listening to what He says. Slow down. Not so much the quantity as the quality, or as the quality of what you're reading, to have a goal to let God speak to you through the Word of God. And reading through the Bible is not necessarily the purpose of your quiet time alone. And then meditate. As you focus on the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. And that's that old word, like the cow chewing the cud, where they chew on it and then they goes down, they bring it back up and chew on it a little more. And that's what we need to do. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Let me give you about five things you may want to jot them down that will help you as you think and you read certain passages and you finish. Ask these questions. One, is there a command to obey? Does God tell you in that passage something you ought to do? Is there a command that you should obey? Hey, if you read it and God tells you and there's something specific that He says you should do and you know you're not doing it, what should you do about it? Obey. Amen? And if there's, ask, is there a command to obey? And is there a promise to claim? Boy, sometimes it's so exciting. You're reading along and there's a promise. Wow! And you say, that promise is made to me. And it is. It's to us when we read the Word of God. Is there a promise to claim? And a lot of times that'll get you out of your doldrums and depression because you have a promise that God gives to claim. And then is there sin to avoid? Is there sin to avoid? The Word of God convicts us of sin. And when He does, and when we read about it, if we're reading in the Word of God and He tells us that we should love our enemies, then we ought to do that. If we're reading the Word of God and He says we shouldn't pout, that's written differently in the Greek, but if He says we shouldn't be pouting Baptists, then we shouldn't be. Amen? If He says we shouldn't hold grudges, we shouldn't. If He gives us all of these, and there's so many more that you can think of, but is there sin to avoid? And then is there a lesson to learn? A lesson to learn. A command to obey, a promise to claim, a sin to avoid. Is there a lesson to learn? And then sometimes this is exciting. Is there a new truth to carry with you? Is there a new truth to carry with me? Sometimes, you know, you can read through and you read it and all of a sudden a verse, a truth just jumps out at you. You've never seen it before. You've read the passage before. And it's like somebody jumped on a trampoline and popped up right in front of you and said, my, I never saw that before. And how exciting it is when God shows you a new truth to carry with you. And then by that time, you're ready to pray, ready to go to the Lord. I think it's good sometimes to pray out loud. I like to pray out loud. I like to pray out loud. I think it's good to pray out loud. I think it keeps you from getting distracted by other noises and other things. Talk out loud. Pray out loud. Get in your quiet place. You may not want to wake the baby up, but anyway, pray out loud. You can do that without doing all of that. And then record what God gives you and ask God to speak to you. Whatever God says, then don't forget it. Write it down. A lot of times we're blessed, but we don't write it down. It's a good idea, by the way, just to keep a tablet by your bed, by the nightstand. And if God wakes you up during the night, you can't sleep, have a Bible right by you, open that Bible, start reading somewhere. If nowhere else, start in the Psalms, and whatever God shows you, write it down. Put it down. Many times we have thoughts that God gives us and we forget them because we don't write them down. It's a good thing to be able to do that. And then begin to share out of your quiet time. You see, God didn't call us to be reservoirs. God called us to be conduits. When God shows you something, go tell somebody about it. When you discover a new truth, talk to somebody about it. Now, you don't have to give them 3 points and 3 parables and 3 points. You don't have to take 30 minutes to do it, but it's a good thing that you can sit down with somebody and say, hey, I was reading the Bible the other day and I didn't see this before, and let me share what God showed me, and you share it, and both of you can rejoice. Maybe they hadn't seen it either. God wants us not to be reservoirs, but conduits, and pass these truths on to others. And then finally, obey what God tells you. That's so important. Obey whatever God tells you. The truths we've talked about, we've experienced there. And so your spiritual train really runs on 2 tracks. Your spiritual train. You've got to have both of these for it to work. If either rail stops, that train's going to stop. And what is it? One rail is obedience. The other rail is revelation. Revelation and obedience, like 2 tracks. And the train going down the tracks. And if you don't get more revelation, keep reading the Word of God. But then if you don't obey what God shows you, then you're going to be derailed. But if you'll read and let God teach you and go on and obey what God shows you, then that train will keep going like a good old locomotive. And those are some good things to help us. May I encourage you tonight, my purpose in preaching this is to encourage you to keep doing it if you're doing it, to encourage you if you've slacked off to get back to it, to challenge you if you've never done it regularly and systematically to get with the program, God's program, and start doing it. And you will be glad you did. These are just very practical things, and I believe that every Christian needs to have a quiet time, a devotional time, separate from your family time, separate from when you and your wife maybe and the children pray, but where you, sir, and you, ma'am, get along with God. You, teenager, where you get alone with God and spend some time off of Facebook or Twitter and tweeting or whatever you do, and all of those different things. And adults do it too, I understand. But have some time every day to get alone with God. And that's an important and blessed thing to do. And you'll be blessed by it. Make a commitment tonight to continue it, to do it, maybe to do a better job of it, to do it in a better way. Learn more about how to do it and let God use it in your life. Now, if you're not saved, you're not going to have any devotional time. And the first thing you need to do, obviously our people know what I'm going to tell you, is you need to be born again. Because you'll never understand the Word of God, and you'll never have a desire for that kind of time until you first fall in love with Jesus. And once you're saved, you're introduced to Him, then you'll want to get to know Him better and know more about Him. I know more about my wife today than the first time I saw her. First time I saw her was the Bible Baptist Seminary, and she and some other students came in, and I was sitting with a hardcore Yankee from Washington State. We were having a good conversation. All of a sudden, I went, ah. He said, what's going on? Something like that. And I said, I love that woman. I'm going to marry her. He said, yeah, good luck. Nobody can even get a date with her. I said, well, I'm going to marry her. I'm telling you, I'm going to marry her. And that's all I knew about her. I just knew she had her demeanor looked great to me. She was very pretty, too. But she had a good Christian glow and demeanor about it. And I said, I'm going to marry her. It was love at first sight. And I know some people don't believe that, but there are a whole lot of people that have experienced that can argue with you. But I know her a whole lot better now than I did then. And now it just doesn't take much. I know exactly what she's thinking. And as Brother Rigsby said, it is scary sometimes. I mean, you don't even have to, you could probably live together and not even speak. You know, you just gestures and eyebrows and eyelashes and that type thing. We know each other so well, we can almost anticipate what we're thinking about ahead of time. And that isn't bad, is it? We need to know Christ like that. And the only way you're going to know Him like that is why I know her like that. I spent a whole bunch of time with her. A whole lot of time. I'd like to spend a little more time with her. But I spent a lot of time with her. And that's why I know her so well, vice versa. Let's stand, please. Now here's the invitation. If you're not saved, we want you to step out and walk down the aisle. Just step out to the aisle close to you. Come forward, and we have people to tell you very quickly and privately how to be saved. And I'm going to ask some of you who perhaps have not been having your devotions, or you know that you need to have a more quiet time with God, and God has shown you something tonight. I'm asking, I preach this message not just to entertain you anything, but to try to challenge you to make a commitment tonight to God and say, God, by your grace, I want to be consistent in my devotional life, my quiet time. I know that it's important, and I want to know you better. Father, bless now. Speak to our hearts, and I pray that as we are preparing for the Lord's Supper, that we would search our hearts right now so that when we partake of the elements in the Lord's Supper, that we would not partake of it unworthily. For we know the stern and sobering warnings of the Word of God that if we partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, then we invite difficulties physically in our bodies and other problems. And help us to be right with you, Lord, tonight as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. I pray that we'd come to a place of fresh and new commitments that we might know you better. We ask it in Jesus' name.